This is the Randy Rhoads Show. To speak with Randy, dial 561-270-3844. That's 561-270-3844.
Suppose we have a very tiny state of 50 people. 30 of them belong to the blue party, and 20 belong to the red party. And just our luck, they all live in a nice even grid with blues on one side of the state and reds on the other. Now, let's say we need to divide the state into five districts. Each district will send one representative to the House to represent the people. Fortunately, because our citizens live in a neatly ordered grid, it's easy to draw five lengthy districts, two for the reds and three for the blues. Voila! Perfectly proportional representation, just as the founders intended. Now, let's say instead that the blue party controls the state government, and they get to decide how the lines are drawn. Rather than draw districts horizontally, they draw them vertically, so that in each district there are six blues and four reds. With a comfortable blue majority in the state, each district elects a blue candidate to the House. The blues win five seats, and the reds don't get a single one. Oh well. Finally, what if the red party controls the state government? The reds know they're at a numerical disadvantage. But with some creative boundary drawing, they can slice the blue population up such that they only get a majority in two districts. So despite making up 40% of the population, the reds win 60% of the seats. Not bad. This process of redrawing district lines to give an advantage to one party over another is called gerrymandering, and it's nothing new. The term gerrymander is named after early 19th century Massachusetts Governor Elbridge Gerry, who redrew the map of the Senate's districts in 1810 in order to weaken the opposing Federalist Party. Our example is, of course, a huge simplification. In the real world, people don't live in neatly ordered grids sorted by political party. But for politicians looking to give themselves an advantage at redistricting time, the process is exactly the same, and the consequences are very real. Gerrymandering is at least partly to blame for lopsided representation in the House seen in recent elections. And, it's been argued by the president, for political polarization, since representatives don't have to compromise hardline views in order to win seats.
And there you have the reason for and an illustration of gerrymandering. So when you sit around and you look at it and you go, oh, you know, I live in a very Democratic district, but, you know, we keep electing a Republican. Perhaps this is your issue. And so that is why the Supreme Court needs to rehear the case of adding the citizenship question to the census. Because a 75-year-old man, after drawing what the Supreme Court determined were illegal districts, they were not based on the state's population, which is how we're supposed to be drawing maps. This man decided that he would do it based on race. It went all the way to the Supreme Court. The Supreme Court struck down North Carolina's gerrymandered maps of North Carolina's legislative districts that were drawn by Tom Hofeller. Tom Hofeller dies. His daughter is allowed finally to go through his personal effects. She finds a plastic bag. In that plastic bag, she finds those gerrymandered maps. She also finds a new plan, a plan that will redistrict North Carolina because they were charged with drawing new districts by the Supreme Court, but this time based only on voting-aged white people. And the problem he had, the fatal flaw he had in his maps, were that there was no place to go to get information regarding voting-aged white people who were, citizens. And so he concocted the idea, we'll put a citizenship question on the census, and that's where we'll get the information from. The Supreme Court redistricting plan. They heard from both sides of this issue April 23rd. Problem? Stephanie Hofeller didn't find her father's thumb drives and hard drives until May. So the Supreme Court is getting ready to rule on the citizenship question, which was dreamt up by her father as another way to gerrymander. And he's been doing it his whole life. He is the Michelangelo of gerrymandering, thinking of weird ways to keep the Republicans in the majority in the House of Representatives despite population changes. and state legislatures, despite population changes. And the Supreme Court has not seen this evidence. And they're going to rule at the end of this month. And by all accounts, when they were hearing the bogus, the lying testimony from the administration about why they wanted to put a citizenship question on the census, and of course, leaving out all of this data, leaving out all of this information, leaving out this detailed letter that this man Hofeller sent to the Census Bureau in December of 2017, presenting these nuanced and technical arguments that citizenship data could give them the information they needed to gerrymander the maps for a Republican majority for at least another, 50 years. The Supreme Court seemed inclined to accept the administration's argument. And now we know that there's evidence that counters what they argued and what Wilbur Ross testified to Congress under oath. That's why there was a contempt vote today. Now, Wilbur Ross is going to tell you that he turned over 14,000 documents and he testified. But the truth here is that the documents that Wilbur Ross turned over were public documents, things we'd already seen, had nothing to do with Tom Hofeller's secret plan to gerrymander based nationwide, based on collecting data of citizens of voting age. There was no source for that information. So he decided, well, if we put a citizenship question on the census, then we'll have a place to go get the data, and then we could gerrymander around that. Leave out the kids, leave out the non-citizens. Maybe they're here with a green card. Maybe they're here legally, but they're not a citizen yet. Maybe they're, on a work visa, but they're not citizens yet. Well, I'll tell you what, when the money gets apportioned, they're going to get sick too. They need hospitals to account for the population, the size of the population, not just citizens. That's just a fact. And that's why they voted today, the Oversight Committee did, to get these documents, to get these. That's what's going on. And I haven't heard anybody give you a decent explanation. Here's Wilbur Ross saying, oh, we turned over before. This guy is so, he is like, he's better than Ambien, this guy. This guy is like Lunesta on Ambien.
There's a contempt vote now tomorrow, apparently, on the census issue.
Why do they all look like that?
Elijah Cummings has scheduled a committee vote for Wednesday. The Trump administration is basically not honoring any subpoenas. Is this just getting caught up in that, Wilbur? Why are you not?
Well, wait a minute. Let's not say we're not honoring this and that. What we are respecting is longstanding practice. We're not accepting the unredaction of documents that three lower courts, two appellate courts, and the Supreme Court have gone along with. Let's make sure we define exactly what's going on. We have produced to the House Oversight Committee 14,000 pages of material. I testified before them for almost 7 hours. We're producing three more witnesses, the only three that they've requested, including one today. So please don't tell me we're not cooperating.
Okay.
What we are doing is cooperating in a rational way that's consistent with the rules, the regulations, the laws, and prior practice.
So the 14,000 pages, again, in the Washington Post, there's an article today. If you go to randyrhodes.com and click on the homework, you'll get the homework. It's free. But the 14,000 pages of documents that were submitted were already publicly available. And in spite of them being publicly available, they were heavily redacted and they were not responsive documents to the committee's request for these thumb drives and these hard drives. The Supreme Court when they argued the case in April, the Supreme Court had no idea that these even existed because nobody did except for the deceased Mr. Tom Hofeller. His daughter didn't know that those things existed until May. And they're going to decide this case at the end of June. Can you see that the fix is always in with them? And when you have a party any party that needs to cheat in order to stay in power or get power, trust me, they're not representing your best interest. Because if they were, you wouldn't have to be gerrymandered out of the equation. They wouldn't have to go searching for ways to stay the majority. Their policies alone would be so magnificent and so important to you and so meaningful to you that nobody would even think of rigging the vote. This is not the case here. What you have is Wilbur Ross lying to Congress about the existence of these documents, and a man named Mr. Gore who refused to answer 150 questions that Congress asked of him.